Good morning, each one. It's a blessing to be here again today, to be able to see each one of you again. Trust that the Lord has been good to you this week. I'm ever thankful for the hope of the gospel, for the comfort of God's word, and for the comfort of His presence. I was thinking today as we sat in service, and I too have felt the presence of the Lord here. The Lord is so good to call us around the foot of His cross. There's plenty of room for everyone. No one need be left out. And this morning, if you feel tired, if you feel like you're at a place in life where you're not sure where to turn, if life feels like it's a little bit of in a turmoil, Jesus Christ bids us come in a little closer. And He wants us to feel His grace and His love and His compassion. And He doesn't want anybody to feel left out. I feel like the enemy many times likes to make us feel alone. Likes to make us feel like that we're all by ourselves out there somewhere with peculiar challenges and temptations and struggles in our life, and we can feel alone. And that the gospel message and His grace and His blood is being there for others, but perhaps not us. And I want to tell you this morning that's not true. That's a lie of the enemy. The Lord has room at the foot of His cross wherever you are. And His love reached out to the thief that had nothing really to offer God in exchange for salvation. But he opened up his heart to God, to Jesus, in that 11th hour. And the love of Jesus reached out and did something so special for that man that day that it seemed like had no hope. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to meeting that thief in heaven, because I'd like to talk to him about what he felt, what he experienced that day, as the blood that was already flowing from Jesus reached out, snatched him from a devil's hell, and brought him to a place where he could be at peace in the fold of the Lord. And I want to encourage each one today that the Lord's calling you by name. Come just a little closer. He has room for you. I'd like to read this morning out of the 10th chapter of Luke. I'd like to start at the 38th verse. Luke 10 and 38 said, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.'" You reckon Martha heard her say that? I mean, Mary heard her say that? You think Mary heard what she said? "And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" And I'm challenged this morning, little message that I have to leave with you by the help of the Lord, I desire your prayers, is that one thing is needful. One thing is needful. The Lord was talking about something here that was of eternal value. He was speaking of something that even in death couldn't be taken away. And really, he was speaking about something that has influence, the capacity to positively influence every area of your temporal life too. And that was that we would seek Him first. That is, that we would put priority on sitting at His feet and understanding what it is that He has to offer us. And I suspect that we've all maybe felt a little sorry for Martha. Have you ever felt sorry for Martha? Kind of like we feel sorry for Peter sometimes. It feels like Peter's the subject of a lot of messages on what not to do, and sometimes Martha, she can get pulled into that same category. You think about Mary and Martha, and well, you'd rather be a Mary than a Martha. But you know, the fact of the matter is, I think that a lot of us here can relate to Martha. Don't we find ourselves there many times in life? The gentle chastisement of the Lord to Martha might have been an easier swallow for Martha if it weren't for the fact that she was trying to work on things that were productive. It wasn't like she was reading the latest magazine that just came in the mail or lounging out in the sun or, you know, drinking a cool drink by the window, but she was trying to do what was right. She was, look, if Jesus came to your house, what would you do? If you knew that the Lord was going to come visit you, would you just, maybe we should do this, but would you just sit down upon hearing that He's coming and say, well, I'm going to think a little bit and try to get my mind in the right place where there's nothing on the table, there's nothing on the stove, this house hasn't been picked up, and Jesus is coming, but you want to get your mind in the right place. Look, the reality is that our natural tendency to say, oh, the Lord's coming, let's make sure we have something to give Him. We want to show Him hospitality. We want to put our best foot forward. We don't want the Lord to go away hungry and say, I came and wasn't fed. I don't want Him to think that I'm not responsible with the duties that I have. But the problem was the issue that the Lord was speaking to, and maybe He knew the strength of Martha, and that maybe it was that we needed it more than Martha did, and maybe the Lord knew that years down the road we'd be talking about it this morning and figured, you know, Rod really needs this in his life, and so Martha, thank you for allowing me to use you as an example here, but you know, really, you're anxious and you're troubled about many things. And Mary has chosen the better thing. The things that Martha was worried about was at the expense of taking advantage of that window of opportunity that passed her way when the Lord came by to be able to sit at His feet and get something that would help her in life. And we find here that I think it looked like she was probably a little anxious, a little fretful, maybe feeling a little irritation. It seemed like it. But I think we can all relate to Martha, because don't we allow our plates to get pretty full? By the help of the Lord, I want to just speak where we live this morning, if that's all right. We go to work. We eat, sometimes too much. We sleep. We have duties around the house. We mow the grass. Grass is getting long. We got to get the grass mowed. One of these days, we've got to change the oil in the vehicle. The miles can start to rack up pretty quick. The eaves starting to look a little green. Maybe they need to get cleaned off. Isn't this where we live? And can't it fill our plates really pretty quick? But the problem comes in when we neglect the one needful thing that's going to make a difference in eternity. You know, every single one of us here this morning, we're going to face God. And this life is going to pass. This life doesn't spell where we're going to be from now until eternity. It's a point in the span of eternity. And the only thing that is going to matter, folks, really, in the end, yes, we have responsibilities. And I want to talk, I'll get to that in a minute. But in the end, God isn't going to say, "Rod, did you keep your lawn looking just perfect every single week?" It's going to matter what our relationship was with the Lord. It's going to matter if we put importance on the one thing that Jesus said was needful. And all these things that Martha was attending to, they are necessary. They're things that God gives us. He tells us to be good stewards of our time and to go to the ant, you know, and learn from the ant and to be responsible with the things that He gives us. But He also doesn't want us to find ourselves in the place where time continues to speed on. And we're neglecting the most important thing in our life. Because it can happen so easy. Have you ever said, "Now this is what I want to get accomplished today. It's the most important thing on my list. This is the most important thing and I want to get to it. So I'm going to try to get all these other things done really fast so that I can focus on the thing that's most important." And then the end of the day comes and you just got done getting all those little things done and you never got to, you had good intentions, but you never quite made it there. If we allow it to be this way, every day can be like that. We can take for granted the most important things in our lives, and we do a lot of times. We can take for granted the relationships we have with our family, with our spouse. You know, that's one of the things we can take for granted so easy. Well, they'll be there tomorrow. They'll be there the next day. It's against our religion to split up, so she'll be there. You know, and you take for granted the fact that you have somebody that's real important, that's right there. And we can get so taken with all the other things that have seemed to have such a high sense of urgency. Time critical, we think. That we neglect the most important things in our life. Our children. Our spouse. The Lord. We have good intentions. But we can live our lives and let those things pass by us. We can have a false sense of urgency on lower value activities. At the cost of neglecting much higher responsibilities that we have. And it's easy to take place if we're not careful. And it can touch all of us. And I want to say that when we neglect the Lord, when we don't take time and we don't carve out space and we don't make sure that we come and have a steady diet of sitting at His feet, it can affect all of these other things that we're trying to accomplish. And it can reach out and have an adverse effect on people that otherwise wouldn't feel the effects of that if we're not careful. I think of Jonah sometimes. He didn't do the same thing that Martha did, but he ran away from being obedient to the Lord, didn't he? And have you thought about the effect that he had? Was it just on Jonah that he got swallowed by a fish? I mean, I wouldn't want to get swallowed by a fish. That would probably be lower on my priority list of things that I would want to have happen to me than higher. But, and I don't want to get swallowed by a fish. But it wasn't all about Jonah. Because of his disobedience, because he didn't want to do the most important thing, which was follow the voice of the Lord, look at the effect that it had on other people. There was a storm that happened miles away from Nineveh. There were men that were afraid. There were men that lost their possessions. Remember, they had to throw some things overboard? There were men that felt guilty. They had to go through life feeling the guilt of throwing Jonah overboard. I don't know if maybe those men heard that Jonah got spit back up 3 days later. I don't know. But if they didn't, they had to deal with that going through life. The decisions that we make, folks, have a wide reach. And the Lord wants to encourage us. I'm your answer. The Lord wants to draw us into Him. Sometimes I think we wonder why we're experiencing specific trouble in our lives in certain things. Why do I have so much trouble here? Why won't this ever turn out? And in the meantime, we are willfully neglecting maybe some areas where the Lord's called us to a closer walk with Him. And then we wonder why our mower keeps breaking down. We wonder why our car won't start when it's supposed to start. I'm not saying there's always a link, but I want to say this. The Lord will do what He needs to do to get our attention. And when we draw back from putting focus on the one thing that's needful at the end, and you decide you have all these other things that are real important for you to do, and you know it, at all stages of life, they change, but there's always these things that we feel are important. You know, when you're young, you know, life seems to be ahead of you, and marriage seems to be ahead, and what am I going to do for, you know, a job to support my family? And then all the way, it's always changing, but it's always there. And the Lord would like to help us with those things. The Lord would like to be there to help make our time productive and to put His blessing on your job and on your marriage and sometimes on getting the lawnmower started. The Lord, He's your friend. He likes to insert Himself in your life. And He sees trouble coming, and maybe it's a temporal difficulty that's coming. The Lord sees that. He sees it coming, and when we're putting Him first, He's like, hey, that's my child right now. They're getting ready to get hit by a car. No, I'm not going to let... This person's putting me first, and the Lord can insert His hand and save us a lot of trouble. And then sometimes we wonder why we're having so much trouble in life. And at the same time, we're neglecting putting the Lord first. And then we may come to the Lord and we may pray and pray and pray about a certain thing, and it seems like the Lord's not answering our prayer, and yet He's been calling us to a closer walk with Him in a certain area of life that we continue to delay and defer, but we want His help in this thing. It kind of came to me this way. You know, the Lord doesn't operate on an a la carte basis. You know, when you go to a restaurant and if you eat, sometimes you buy something on the menu and you get two sides and you get this and it's kind of, you know, a plate. But other times you go and you got to buy each thing individually. Do you know that the Lord doesn't want us to operate that way with Him, where we pull up to the Lord's table and we say, now this morning, Lord, what I'd like is I'd like a little bit of help over here with extra cheese. And over here, would you leave the butter off of this help? And oh, by the way, could you serve me this and put, you know, 2 squeezes of lemon in it, and please answer my prayer. This other stuff, that's not really what I want to order this morning. God can't help us when we do that. The Lord wants us to be open to say, Lord, would you fill me in my life? Lord, I want to spend time at the foot of your cross. Lord, I want to open up all the rooms in my house. You know what I need to eat today. You know what I need. Lord, I want to commit and submit my life before you. It's the reason why Jesus said in the 6th chapter of Matthew, Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added unto you. Seek first. We all know that verse. We've heard it for many years. It's a common verse. And yet, sometimes it can be an uncommon practice. Because it's so easy not to seek the Lord first. It's so easy to feel like that He's the most important in our life. But if we're not really careful, it's really easy to not allow Him to really be the most important thing in our life. And then we can run into trouble. What's real life for us? What does life look like? I don't know about you, but this is how it looks to me. It seems like a web of a whole lot of high-speed conveyors feeding a whole lot of things right at me. That's how I feel sometimes. You ever feel that way? Responsibilities, expectations, enticements, things to enjoy, challenges, difficulties. And if I'm living life kind of like you are, it feels like there's a whole bunch of these conveyors and I'm not the one driving the motor, something else is. And they just coming from all directions at me. I used to work in a cannery when I was a kid where we canned vegetables. And I had the job one summer. It was called, I was a racker. It wasn't a real sophisticated job. My responsibility was to take 3 gallons of canned food off of the conveyor line at a time with this device where you could pick 3 of them up and then you put it on a pallet and then fill the pallet up. And you know, it was an okay job, except I'm not the one that ran the speed of the conveyor line. I was the guy down at the very end. And I could work for 8 hours, and as far as you could see was can after can after can, and they just kept coming and coming, and I'm just pulling them off and pulling them off. Hardly time to scratch your eye, couldn't go get a drink. I mean, if you didn't pick the cans up off of the conveyor, and you said, you know, I think I'm just going to do something else for a while, I'm kind of tired out. Well, sometimes in seconds, it backs all the way up, and you know those loud, obnoxious noises that can happen, and then everybody looks and everything starts to shut down because it's backed all the way up. And so you don't let it back up. You just sit there and, like a machine, pick off those cans. And you know, sometimes life feels like that. Sometimes life feels like we're at the end of a conveyor that we have no control of. And the responsibilities keep coming. And the trials come. And I want to get in some time for this. And we can't possibly seem like do it all. And then we hear obnoxious noises and things seem to back up and trouble seems to happen. And we feel like that it's all our fault and all of our responsibility. Life can be really busy. And before I go any further, I want to pause and I want to say this. There's several young families here this morning with a lot of little children. And having little children can make for a really busy life. We had 3. Some of you have more than that. We had 3 4 years down to an infant. So I use the word we a little loosely. My wife was busier than I was. We're busy. Those are busy times of life. And the reason I want to pause with that is to say this to the mothers and to the dads that are trying to work, and then they come home and there's children and the wife has needs too. And those are some busy times of life. And sometimes you feel like that's all you're getting done, and you're not getting done all the other things that need to be done. But I want to say this, that's a very important time of life. Sometimes you may feel like you don't get anything out of service because you just happen to attend to your children. You don't even feel like coming to service sometimes. Sometimes you feel like you're neglecting important things and you think you're a failure because you can't get everything done you're supposed to get done. I want to tell you this morning, if you're taking care of your children and you're being a godly mother, you are doing God's work at this time in your life. And I want you to be encouraged with that. Don't let the enemy discourage you. That's one of those things that's important. It's ordained by God. And when you feel that responsibility, the ramifications, the positive ramifications extend so far. So I want to say to the young families this morning, the young mothers with children, be encouraged. Keep your chin up. You're gonna feel like there's stuff coming at you from a lot of conveyors that you can't handle. And it's going to feel like that for a while. But know that God is there smiling upon your labor, and it's important and it's valued. And there isn't anything more important that you can do in life than to fulfill the responsibility that you have with your children. And I want to carve that out and say that. And I also want to say that what the enemy likes to do is cause us to think that everything else that comes at us at high speed is of equal importance. And it's not. It's not of equal importance. But you can feel that way sometimes. And I think sometimes what the Lord would like us to do is He'd like us to step back a little bit and remember that not everything has the same importance. And that one thing is needful, really, in the end. And that's to fulfill our place that God would have us to fill. Motherhood is one such place. So is fatherhood. Those are some really busy times. But if the enemy has his way, he'll take us through our entire life spending time on things that take away from the one thing that's really needful. And I think sometimes the Lord would have us to stand back and say, okay, a change needs to take place. I've got to do something different. I'm neglecting. I have good intentions. I thought I was going to get to this, but I'm not getting to it like I wanted to. And sometimes we have to make changes in our lives to make sure that we're given room for the Lord. We're spending time at the foot of the cross, and sometimes that's throughout the day while you're attending to your children, and you lift up your heart to the Lord while you're giving them a bath, while you're wiping their tears off. Lord, please go with me today. Lord, I want you to be by my side. I want to be your child. And husbands and dads, life can be busy. And it is busy. But if we'll put the Lord first and we'll approach life with a heart and a desire, Lord, I want to do your will above all else. I believe that the Lord has a way of multiplying the loaves and the fishes that we have to offer. I remember when I was at home, my mom had a poem. It almost seemed like it was just on a small little, I don't remember if it was on a magnet or something. And I don't remember everything that it said in between, but I remember how it started and how it ended. And it started like this. I got up early this morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier became each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He said, you didn't ask. And the story goes along about the trouble that the man was in, and it ends this way. I got up early this morning, and I paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. You know, my message this morning isn't just about our prayer life. That's a big piece of it. Very important. Can't be understated. But my burden this morning is that we not let the busyness of life decide for us what's important to us. Look, as long as you keep running, the wheel's going to keep turning. As long as you keep pulling cans off of that conveyor and staying right where you are and you're making no changes, the cans are going to keep coming. And sometimes the Lord wants us to pause and to step back and, you know, put ourselves in a place where He can talk to us and where we recommit and resubmit and reconsecrate. Just say, Lord, I want to put you first. Lord, I love you. I want to be able to stand when the hard times come. And when the hard times are past, I want to be able to still be standing. One account, the Lord said that He said that a wise man was a man that came to hear the Lord, put themselves in a position and heard, and then did. He said that's a wise man. And He said, now liken him unto a man that built his house and dig deep and laid his foundation on a rock. And it said, when the storm arose, the streams beat vehemently on that house, but couldn't shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And I want to encourage us all this morning that we dig deep in coming to where the Lord is. That we dig deep in hearing. You can come to church and not hear. You can cross that off your list that you were at church, but that doesn't mean that your heart was open. Be willing to come to church. Be willing to hear the word of the Lord. And then the key is that when we go out the back door, that we're willing to do. We've got to do. We can't just hear. We can't just come. But the Lord wants us to make it a priority so that when we go home, we're serious about it. Lord, this is how I want to live. I want to serve you. And I'm going to dig deep with whatever it takes. Whatever the cost is. Lord, this is what I want to do. This morning, let's forever protect the space in our lives for God. Hold it sacred. Don't trade it in. Don't substitute it. Don't rent it out. Don't rent that valuable space out. We only have 24 hours in a day. Our plate's only so big. You can only take in so many things on those conveyor lines. Be willing this morning to come before the Lord and be willing to put the one thing that's needful first. Make that thing a priority in your life. Don't let the temporal affairs of life take precedent in the end. Well, yes, sometimes it means that sometimes we have to let some things drop off Sometimes we think we just have to work faster. We just have to optimize what we're already doing. Sometimes we have to change what we're doing. We have to do different things. We have to change our lifestyle. We have to be willing to let some things go that have some value. Sometimes we have to simplify our lives. And I want to close with this, and I want to encourage you with this, that sometimes when it seems like you have more coming in than what you can handle, you may be right. And that's a really good time to remember Jesus' words. One thing is needful. And I just pray that this morning that we would all be encouraged, not with all of the many things that life throws at us, but encouraged that there's space at the feet of Jesus. There's room for you. With everything that you have going on, the things that press in on our minds, and they do. I'm not here to preach something that's not reality. The Lord never said He was going to take away all anxiety, all pressure, all things. But He has promised us that He wants to help us. He's promised He wants to give His grace. He wants to see us through. The storms aren't always pleasant, but He wants us to be able to stand when they pass. And for us to do that, we can't neglect the one thing that's needful. May God bless each one of you this morning. Be encouraged. If the devil's got you down, there is much hope in the gospel. And the Lord beckons us close that He might help us with the temptations, the challenges, and the struggles that we have. May God bless each one of you is my prayer. Amen.